One of the difficulties that we face today is the acceptance among the people around us that there is something that is absolute truth. Our world, our society in particular, in this country, seems to be going the direction of there's nothing that is absolutely true, that things are true to me based on what I feel or based upon my experiences. What may be true to you is not necessarily true to me. And that sort of attitude is going to make it almost impossible for someone to come to the Lord. Because one of the first things that we have to know, first things that we have to establish is there is truth. There are absolutes. There are things that are going to be accurate and right, and there will be no change about them no matter what situation we're in. So we want to talk this morning about truth. And the first thing that we want to consider when we talk about truth is this idea that there is truth. And the text that I read just a few moments ago tells us that there is truth. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That statement tells us that there is truth. Otherwise, it can't be known. We can't know something that does not exist. Remember, Jesus was speaking to Jews here. Sometimes when we read this, we're thinking, he's talking to the apostles, but that's not true. Jesus was speaking to the Jews that were following around, who were listening to him. And it is them that he told, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. The context that we read emphasizes that it is Jews he's talking to, not just the apostles, not even just his disciples, but Jews who were gathered to listen to him. They were his followers, trying to learn what he had. Maybe it was some of the ones who had been following him because of the food that he provided. But this is after chapter 6. Maybe it was some new folks that had started following him after so many had left him. But the point is, those who were Jews should have known that truth exists. And Jesus deals with that in this context, and we'll talk about that a little more in one of our later points in this lesson this morning. But as Jesus talks to these people, he tells them, it's the truth that you need to in order to be set free. Truth exists. It is there. That's why Jesus could pray to the Father in John 17:17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And there's a little bit more pointer as to the fact that truth exists. Jesus, in this prayer to God, tells us that the word of God is truth. Whenever we've talked about studying with other people, one of the first things we've said we need to establish is that we're going to go to God's Word for all things. Why? Because the Word of God is truth. Since we know that truth exists, and now we've been told that the Word of God is truth, we need to have firmly established in our minds and be able to convince others of that fact. That if we want to know things that are absolutes, we go and we read what God has revealed to us. His Word is absolute. And that's why we can turn to it for such authority. Jesus rebuked some of the Jews in Matthew chapter 22 by saying, you are wrong because you know neither the Scriptures nor the power of God. They were wrong because their assumptions, their plans, their designs were not based on God's Word. If they had been based on God's Word, they would not have been wrong. They would have been true. God's Word is truth. Do not despise prophecies, Paul told the Thessalonian brethren, but test everything, hold fast what is good. if you read in that context, the things that Paul is telling the Thessalonian brethren is that they need to put their focus upon God and His Word. We need to listen to everything that's said, but we need to pay attention to where it comes from. We need to test the spirits, as John tells us in one of his epistles, to see whether they are of God. How do we tell if they are of God? Are they true? That's the instruction the Israelites were given when you're checking as to whether a prophet is false or a prophet from God. Does it come to pass? If it doesn't come to pass, they're not of God. Because why? God's word is true. And that's why the Apostle Paul could tell the Roman brethren, as we've studied recently in our Wednesday night class, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For the gospel is God's power of salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for in that gospel the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous or the just shall live by faith. Truth exists, and it is found in God's Word. That needs to be our basis for every action we take, every teaching we engage in, every decision that we make needs to be founded in the fact that we know it is true because it is in God's Word. That ties us back to the authority we were talking about in our Bible class this morning. The truth exists, and it is God's Word. We can rely upon it. We can put our trust and our hopes and our plans in it and know that we have the greatest... Well, I lost the word I was going to say, but the greatest chance, there we go, of it being accomplished because it's based on truth. As our text indicates to us, as Jesus was speaking to these Jewish people who were following Him, the truth is what makes us free. I think that's true in a general sense. It is truth that allows us freedom of action. When we know that what we're doing is right and proper, when we know that it is true, that there is nothing wrong in what we're doing, we are much freer in taking action in regard to that. When we have some questions about whether something is accurate or not, we're a little hesitant. We're a little more careful. I've used illustrations of speed limits before. Sometimes when you're driving down the road, you've been going down the road for miles and miles, you haven't seen a speed limit. Maybe you got on a new road and they didn't have a speed limit as soon as you turned on. Do you just take off and do the same thing you were doing on the last road, hoping that you're right? Or do you have a little bit of a question there? What is the speed limit here? What's what I'm supposed to be doing? You know, you don't always see speed limits posted in town. And it depends on what town you're in as to what the speed limit is. And so, oftentimes, we're a little hesitant, especially if we see one of those cars with the bubble lights on the back on top. Or the black and white, we're a little hesitant about how fast we're going through that area because we don't have an assurance of what the speed limit is. We haven't seen a sign that says this is the speed limit. But as soon as we see that sign and we know what that speed limit is, we don't worry about speed limit anymore, do we? Some of us literally, but we set it's a speed limit and we know what it is. We don't have to worry about it. We're set free by having accuracy, by having truth. More importantly, the Word of God sets us free from the bondage of sin. And of course, that's what Jesus is talking about here. The Word of God, the truth, is what cleanses us. Yes, it's through the blood of Jesus Christ. But it is only because of the gospel story, the story of Christ, the sacrifice that He made, the salvation that He offers through His death, burial, and resurrection, that we are able to have that salvation. Truth sets us free. There is no distinction, Paul told the Roman brethren, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. When you read that passage, I think there's two things we see. When he talks about God putting him forward, certainly Paul's talking about the fact that God sent Jesus to die for our sins. But I think we can also see in that the indication that God has revealed to us that this is how we are made free from our sins. And where does that come? From the truth of God's Word, the message of the gospel, the story that you have been told by the inspired writers and by the inspired speakers, Romans, that is what has set you free. The truth sets us free from the bondage and difficulties of sin. In Romans chapter 6, Paul says, "Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin which leads to death or of obedience which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed and have been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness." That standard of teaching, you've become obedient from the heart to the truth, and it has set you free from sin. Now, yes, Paul does say that makes us slaves of righteousness. But when we consider that, especially in light of our example a moment ago, once we know what the law is, we're not quite so hesitant because we know where our boundaries are. Yes, we are slaves of righteousness, but that also makes us free. Because we know what we can and what we cannot do and still be able to enter into the eternal rest that is promised to those who belong to the Lord. The truth makes us free. It relieves us of some of the stress and struggle that we have to undergo when we're living according to the world. When we start putting our focus in the things of the world, one of the things we have to determine, okay, who's the authority? Where do I go to get the answers to my questions? How far can I go in this? What's the limits? Are there any limits? We're bound. We're restricted. But once we know the truth and we've given ourselves wholly over to the truth, we're free from those things. There's a sense in which we have become free from all decisions. It's like, wait a minute, I make decisions every day, all day long. That's right. But you know where to go to get the answers for those decisions. You know what authority you're using to decide that. You don't have to determine whether I'm going to listen to the mayor, or I'm going to listen to the police, or I'm going to listen to the president, or I'm going to listen to Congress, or I'm going to listen to the Constitution. You listen to God. And so you know exactly where to go to find the determination that gives you the answer that you need for whatever your question is. Some folks look upon coming together on the Lord's Day as some sort of restriction, some sort of binding. I see it as freedom. I don't have to decide what I'm going to do on Sunday morning. I've already decided I'm going to come and gather with a brother. And we're going to study from God's Word, and we're going to worship God. I already know that's what I'm going to do. I'm already set for that. How am I going to react when something goes wrong in the world? I'm going to put my trust in God. I'm going to go to Him and ask Him to be with me and guide me and direct me. There's a freedom in being slaves to righteousness that I don't think we can find anywhere else. Also, when we consider the idea of truth, we understand that truth begets. Actually, beget, that's not one of those words we really understand. Well, I mean, we know what it is because we've been reading it in the Bible all these times. Abraham beget Isaac, Isaac beget Jacob, you know. Truth gives birth. Truth gives birth. In James chapter 1 and verse 18, James says, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. We were brought forth by the truth. We were made who we are by the truth of the gospel. That's how we are born again. When we read over in John chapter 3 about the need to be born again in order to enter the kingdom of God. To be born again in order to enter into heaven. We are born again by the Word and the Spirit. We are born again by the truth. Paul told the Corinthian brethren, for though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers, for I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. You were born of the gospel. We are born of truth. I think that puts some responsibility on us. Just like my being born of Jerry and Dottie Henderson put some responsibility on me in a physical sense, my being born of the gospel lays some responsibility on me. I need to adhere to. I need to give attention to that which gave me birth. I need to listen to it. I need to be obedient to it. Just like we are to our parents. We are born of truth, and therefore we have responsibility toward that truth. And in a similar vein, truth purifies and sanctifies. It changes us. We read a moment ago, John 17, verse 17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. It is truth that changes us to be perfect in the sight of God. So I say, well, wait a minute, I'm not perfect. I'm as perfect as I'm going to be based on the will of God, on God's word, the truth. That's how I achieve. Peter said, having purified your souls by obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. Here Peter ties that purification, that sanctification, with our birth from the truth. And anytime I talk about this idea of purification and sanctification, I want to make sure that we make the connection with the examples we have of that in the instructions given to the Israelites. And while we're not going to turn back over there and read all of those purification rituals and commands that they had to follow, understand, going over there and becoming familiar with what's involved in that can help us better understand what we're talking about when we talk about we are sanctified by the truth. We're cleansed through that. Because of our obedience to the truth, our commitment to giving our lives wholly over to the truth, we are made pure. We are sanctified. We are set apart, made holy, as long as we are in the truth. Paul told the Corinthian brethren, therefore go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you and will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. See, it's not just me that wants to make the connection with those things. Paul made that connection here. Paul said, don't get caught up in unclean things. The Jew who touched a dead body had rituals and processes and washings that they had to engage in order to cleanse themselves again. And Paul gives instruction to the Corinthian brethren, you, because you are purified, sanctified by the truth, because you are a child of God, having been born of the truth, you need to stay away from the things that would make you unclean. Don't get caught up. Don't get mixed up with the things of the world that would adulterate the truth. or adulterate you who have been purified by the truth. The truth purifies, sanctifies. By being obedient to the truth, we become set apart from the rest of the world. It's hard to say at no time in history, but I never lived any other time in history besides now. But it's pretty obvious when we see one who is set apart by the truth of the gospel and comparing them against the world. They stand out. It's like some of the ads you used to see for some of the detergents back years ago, when they'd hang up all the t-shirts and you'd have a bunch of yellow and gray t-shirts and one big bright white one right out there. We were made different, set apart. Because of that, we need to be careful with whom and what our associations are. We need to be careful that we don't spot ourselves with the world and thus become impure. But if we do, we can turn back to the truth and know that it will purify and sanctify us. Put us back in that right state once again. Because the truth sets us apart. The truth produces faith. Maybe I got these in the wrong order. Because when I say the truth produces faith, most people's minds say Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, right? Faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the Word of God. The truth produces faith. There again, I think we can go back to that example that I mentioned just a moment ago. Once we know what the limits are, we can put our trust in that. Once I've seen that speed limit sign, I don't have to be concerned or worried about what the speed limit may be. I know, and I can put my trust in the fact that as long as I'm obedient to that law, I'm not going to have any trouble in regards to speeding. Maybe something else to catch me in. Truth produces faith. The more we read and study the Word of God and understand the commands that God has given to us, the more likely we're going to be to just put our trust in Him and let Him take control. We see this in all kinds of things in our life. We lose trust or we lose faith in someone when we find out they've been lying to us. We don't trust them so much anymore. We don't have that problem with God. Because we know that God is truth. His Word revealed to us is truth. Absolute and sure. We can always put our faith in Him. And our faith is going to be strengthened the more time we spend in His Word. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, in Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promises, or the promised Holy Spirit. When you believed in Him, after you heard the word, you developed faith and belief. And it caused you to take action. The truth produces faith. That's why you'll always hear parents, elders, Bible class teachers, preachers, scholars saying, spend more time in the Word of God. Because the more we study God's Word, the more trust we have in Him to take care of our difficulties and struggles. The more sure we are that He will be there to help us. Because truth produces faith. Excuse me. Truth also builds up. In Acts chapter 20, we're going to look specifically at verse 32, but if you remember in Acts chapter 20, we have the account of the Apostle Paul meeting with the elders from the church in Ephesus. Before he told them, you'll never see me again, face to face. You're going to be left. You're going to be on your own with God. And you need to be careful. You need to watch yourselves, because among your own selves, you're going to have some that are going to rise up that are going to cause trouble. that are going to take people away from the Lord. But I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Paul said, brethren, if you will put your entire trust and hope and guidance in God and His word, it will keep you standing firm and take you all the way through to the end. Truth builds up and gives us an inheritance with God. We need to put our hope and our trust in the truth. We need to know what God's word says if we want to enter into heaven when this life is over. It is only that which is going to make us stronger. Yes, we will receive strength from our brethren, but only as we associate together in learning and understanding and applying the Word of God. We can receive some physical comfort just by being in the presence of brethren who care. But being built up requires that in that relationship, we're involving the truth, the Word of God. Paul didn't say, brethren, if y'all just keep coming together, you're going to be all right. If you'll just depend on each other, you're going to be all right. He said, if you will all work together, depend on the Lord, you will be all right. It'll get you to heaven. The truth builds up and gives us an inheritance. The promised inheritance. The inheritance that was promised all the way back to the days of the Garden of Eden. And to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to the Jews throughout their history. The promise that we can be with God for all eternity. The promise of a greater country. Abraham wasn't just looking forward to a great nation from among his seed. Abraham was looking to an inheritance when this life was over. He knew it was more than just here on earth. But if we're not spending time in the Word of God, if we're not filling ourselves with the truth, we're not going to be focused on that. The truth gives us an inheritance. It keeps us on the straight and narrow. It builds us up and strengthens us, and it carries us all the way through to eternity. We look at all these other things, and they, maybe if we were putting these in plus and minus columns, they were all pluses. They're all benefits that we receive from the truth. And when folks look at this last one, the truth will judge, maybe we see it more as a minus. We ought not. If we've been paying attention and we're putting our hopes in the truth and we're trusting in the truth, we don't have to worry about judgment. Because the truth is what is going to make, what is going to do the judging. Just like that illustration of the speed limit sign, if we've got the truth out there that tells us, and we get pulled over by the policeman and we can say, I was following that limit, and he can verify that, then we're okay. We're going to be judged by that truth. But it also means that we've seen that sign and then we decide, hey, I'm going to do twice what that sign says because I'm in a hurry. Then we know right then and there that we're going to be held accountable because it is that truth that's going to judge us. The truth, the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the message delivered through the inspired writers, those who spoke as oracles of God, is what's going to judge us in that last day. And while it may be seen as a negative to those who have put their lives into service of the truth, it is a positive. I can go with confidence and know that God will be pleased with me because I have followed the truth. We read in Romans chapter 2 and verse 2, we know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things. And I didn't get the context to read through here. We've been studying Romans chapter 2 in our Wednesday night Bible class. We've been talking about some of these things. In verse 15 and 16, they show that the work of the law is written in their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them on that day. According to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. The whole point of what Paul is stating there in this particular part of the book of Romans is, if you've been following the truth, he's talking more specifically about law, he uses that term in referencing the old law. If you've been following the truth, you're going to be fine. But if you're not following the truth, you're going to be held accountable. What was it we read this past Wednesday night? Your circumcision has become of no account if you're not following the law. Kind of a paraphrase. But if you're following the law, your circumcision is valid and useful. Even those who were not under the old law of Moses, if they followed the law, they were pleasing in the sight of God. The point being, for those Jews and Gentiles in the city of Rome, if you are obeying the law of Christ, you don't have anything to worry about. Because it's that law that's going to judge. The truth will judge us. And if none of these other things that we've talked about impresses upon us the importance of knowing and putting our trust and hopes in the truth, that should. That's what's going to determine where we spend eternity. That truth. Jesus Christ and His instructions and rules and regulations, if they've been handed down to us through the inspired writers of the New Testament Scriptures. God has revealed that which is true. In fact, Jesus told His apostles in John chapter 16 and verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. Notice that. He will guide you into all the truth. When the Spirit came and delivered the inspired message to the apostles and then the other inspired writers and speakers of the New Testament times, He revealed truth. All truth. There was no more truth to be revealed later. There was no less than complete truth. There is truth. And as the Apostle Paul told the Corinthian brethren, if we will compare what is said to the Word of God, we can know that it is true. If anyone thinks that he is a prophet or spiritual, he should acknowledge that the things I am writing to you are a commandment of the Lord. If we'll compare the things that are being spoken and taught with the Word of God, we can know if they are true. And it is essential for us to follow after truth. Because truth will judge us in that last day. And of course, that means the question for each of us this morning. Am I prepared to be judged by the truth? Am I living my life in a manner that when it is compared to the truth revealed by God, I will stand on the side of righteousness? Were you obedient to the will of the Lord? Are you taking the steps that are necessary to make you one of His children, to be born of the truth, be buried with Christ, rising up out of that watery grave to become a new creature, having your sins washed away by taking that action of obedience and serving the Lord because of your trust and your belief and faith in Jesus as the Son of God? Are you still living in accordance with that? Is your life a confession that you believe in the truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God?
Are you guiding yourself by the instructions given in God's truth? If not, when you stand before God in judgment, you will fail the test. Why not make sure that things are right today? You have things that are amiss in your life that need to be corrected. Set them right with God. If you're a child of God, that means prayer to God, seeking forgiveness, having turned from your sins, knowing that He will forgive you. In fact, as John tells us, He will wipe them away as if they had never been. You do not become a child of God, we are to become one, to be born of the truth through the water of the Spirit, through obedience to the will of God. Complete and total obedience, submission, so that you're no longer a slave of sin, but a slave of righteousness, and thereby free from sin. If we can assist you, time and opportunity is yours. When I come, always send us.